Uphold Ministers, 1894. I would have you all realize that each one of us is responsible for making the best use of our time, for improving our opportunities to their utmost, and for being helpful in every way possible, that we may be laborers together with God. How much we lose by shirking responsibilities. What makes the blacksmith's arm so strong? It is the wielding of the heavy sledge. It is by exercise that the muscles become strong. All who have enlisted under the banner of Jesus Christ are reckoned as soldiers of the cross of Christ. They have a part to act in the daily warfare against sin and Satan, against unrighteousness and selfishness. Selfishness and slothfulness creep upon us before we are aware, and we are led to forget that we individually have a part to act as Christ's true-hearted soldiers in obeying every order of the captain of our salvation. We may daily receive aid and comfort in the warfare in which we are called to engage, but many are in a sleepy spiritual condition and do not realize that they have a part to act in the work of the Lord. While some have been privileged to eat of the bread of life and drink of the living waters, others have been pressed with the responsibility of considering weighty questions that involve the planning for the work of the future. Ministers and responsible men have had the burden of the responsibility upon them of devising ways and finding methods whereby the work of the future may be assured of prosperity and advancement. This is no trifling matter, and a heavy burden of responsibility should not be dropped upon the shoulders of a few workers, while others carry no burden except that of criticizing the plans that are devised by those at the head of the work. What is the part that you who profess to believe the truth should act in reference to those who carry the burden of the work? It is your part to hold up the hands of the burden-bearers, even as Hur and Aaron held up the hands of Moses. Night after night, when the congregation are at liberty to go to their rest, our responsible brethren are held in council meetings till after midnight, in order that plans may be devised, and methods suggested, whereby the work that needs to be done may be accomplished. The weaknesses of humanity are upon us all, and no one is able of himself to lay hold of the great responsibilities of the Lord's work unless he is sustained by divine power. Without wisdom from God, grave blunders and mistakes will be made that will greatly retard the work of God. It is the duty of everyone who believes the truth to seek most earnestly to God in prayer, asking that those who are called to fill important positions of trust, who are called to engage in committee work, and to give counsel concerning plans for the advancement of the truth for this time, may be greatly blessed of God. All should pray that there may be unity of action in arriving at the best methods for pushing on the work, and that those who plan may be able to secure the hearty cooperation of the members of the church in carrying out the plans that have been devised for the upbuilding of the cause of God in this country. Let the people pray for the men whom their votes have placed in office. Let them ask God to grant them wisdom from heaven in order that they may do their work wisely and well, and be enabled to plan with the wisdom that God has promised to give to those that ask Him for wisdom. The question with each one of those who have received the truth for this time should be, what can I individually do to advance the message? Ask God to open the way, that you may have a share in the work that Jesus is doing, that you may labor with Him for the salvation of perishing souls. The Lord Jesus came in person to this world in order to represent to His workers the Spirit that should actuate them, and to teach them the best methods by which to accomplish His work. Those who would have spiritual power must be doers of the Word of God. God has a plan for training His people for a pure and holy heaven. Ministers can act their part in doing their part in a way that will be in harmony with the greatness of the truth that they believe. If they believe in Christ as their personal Savior, they have come unto Him for rest and peace. They wear Christ's yoke and are in partnership with Him. They are junior partners in the divine firm, and as such are to manifest an intense interest in everything that pertains to the salvation of souls. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are in a world where temptation to evil is on every hand. Satan is ruler in his kingdom of darkness. In the world is oppression, want, hunger, and woe. The street children, who are pinched with hunger, shivering with cold, and who are neglected, have a most pitiful history. Many in our world know nothing save hard work and poverty, and yet this class are not the most unhappy. The greatest unhappiness exists among those who are supposed to have every want supplied, who are living useless, selfish lives, whose souls are stained with sin. Yet because of their circumstances, it is hard to reach them. Through selfishness, through the vanity of riches, the higher, nobler qualities of the soul have been paralyzed, and they have become calloused and hardened to the woes and wretchedness of the world. And their sinful indifference testifies that they are not co-laborers with Christ, not junior partners with Him in His great enterprise of redeeming the lost race from its wretchedness and despair. God has given to men the privilege of becoming His instrumentalities by cooperating with divine agencies in the work of redeeming the lost from oppression, degradation, and sin. He will accept warm hearts and willing hands to be laborers together with God. Men, women, and children are wanted to enlist in this army of Christian endeavor. The Lord calls for soldiers who will not fail or be discouraged, but who will accept the work with all its disagreeable features. He would have us all take Christ as our pattern. Jesus calls for rich and poor to unite in service together. What transformation of character would be seen upon those who have lived simply to please themselves, were their hearts touched with the love of Christ? What a change would be wrought in the life and actions of the wealthy who have consulted but their own ease, should they feel the power of redeeming love? They would then minister to those who need their help. They would then see the necessity of creating a fund for the purpose of helping the youth to obtain an education so that they might be fitted for missionary work, to go forth and labor for those who are near and those who are far off. But the selfish, pampered, spoiled children of fashion are miserably unhappy. Their lives are unsatisfactory because they are depressed with a sense of their uselessness. Had it been their lot to have been poor and to have been under necessity of earning their own livelihood, they would have been far happier. God has given to rich and poor a work to do in blessing others. After the fall of man, it cost our Heavenly Father an infinite price in order to provide a way by which the defaced image of God in man might not be wholly obliterated, but restored to the soul. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Then will you neglect your God-given capabilities? Will you fail to improve upon the talents that have been bestowed upon you by heaven? Will you lightly regard the advantages of another trial, another probation, in which it is to be decided whether or not you shall have eternal life? Will you trample underfoot the great privileges that have been secured to you at infinite cost? You will meet with strong temptations that will solicit your feet to take a downward course. But there are also the strongest inducements set forth to inspire you to be strong and to quit you like men. Soldiers are not trained for the parade, but for the battlefield. Men of value are those who have encountered and overcome difficulties. Let no one think to attain to high position, to possess estimable traits of character, without making daily upward progress. To reach the high standard that is placed before you will call for the taxation of your highest powers and will require persevering, untiring energy. To become a man after God's order, it is necessary to lay the foundation in a virtuous character, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brother kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 5-8.